It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Wakey, wakey.
Time to get up.
Good morning, citizens.
Up and at them.
Rise and shine.
This is your wake-up call, people.
Come on, the coffee's on.
We're going to get you guys circulating on Christian radio.
I understand young people. I know what's hip. I know what's on. I know what's lit. I know what's fleek.
What's up, my nerds?
Nerds! I work with a bunch of nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Rise and shine, nerds.
You're tuned in to the Back Row Morning Show, a Monday through Thursday morning show for LTN Radio and proudly a part of the Love Thy Nerd podcast network. I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo. We are caffeine-fueled and ready to talk your ears off. Our show covers a lot of banter-worthy goofiness inspired by current pop culture as well as focused as a focus topic that spans all four shows for the week.
This week on the show, we're taking a look at rivalries and fan loyalty.
But first, let's celebrate some holidays. Monday, January 23rd is Measure Your Feet Day.
Do you remember back when shoe sections were a common thing and most stores, they would always have that little
shoe measure,
that weird measure, foot measure thing
that I never understood until I was an adult. And I was like, oh, that's not as complicated as I thought it was.
Right. It wasn't super complicated, but it always grossed me out because I'm like, how many sweaty socked feet or even bare feet?
I've never even thought about it until right this second. Thanks a lot, you jerk. It's a good thing that at this point I know my shoe size and it ain't changing.
Right.
So
yeah. At this point you're kind of there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Great. Disgusting. Disgusting.
I wonder if they got rid of those during COVID.
Probably like not. You could. You couldn't catch COVID through your feet.
I don't think anybody knew that for sure for a long time.
No, nobody knew anything.
Nobody knew how you got COVID. Nobody knew what COVID was. It was everything. Every symptom you had. You got in a car accident and chopped off your head. COVID.
COVID. Yeah.
COVID got him. COVID got him.
Yep. That is true. That was probably my biggest complaint about COVID was that every person who passed away during COVID, it didn't matter.
It was so strange. Like no other causes of death happened that entire year and a half.
Right?
It was all COVID.
It was all COVID.
It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we won't get into that. It's also National Handwriting Day.
Mm-hmm. 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 This always reminds me of how we were taught cursive so strongly in elementary school, only to get to middle school and they're like, "Yeah, we don't care. You don't have to write in cursive if you don't want to."
Well, and now they don't even teach cursive anymore.
Do they don't teach it at all?
No.
Good. I don't think we need it. I don't think we need it. I think we can live life just fine without cursive in our life.
I mean, I don't think that we need it, no, but I do think that it's a lost art, and I do think that there's beauty in it, and there's, like, being able to learn how to write in cursive, that it teaches you more than just writing in cursive. Like, there's a whole element to your brain that it expands, that artistic side of your brain. Think about it. Like, your handwriting was garbage until you were forced to learn cursive and you were forced to actually learn how to form your letters in an artistic manner. And then after cursive, you kind of took on this whole new, well, this is how my handwriting is going to be. This whole identity through your handwriting. And that's a fact. Like, I can look at your handwriting.
Oriel says my handwriting was still garbage with cursive.
Okay. But I, like, this is the thing. You, there are specific people, and Matt, you are one of those people who artistically you write. You write artistically. Anyway, your handwriting is artistic when you write it.
Thank you.
I know your handwriting. Like, I can pick your handwriting because it's very identifiable to you.
Because I'm all caps, baby. All caps all the time.
But not just that. Like, there's... anyway, it's hard to explain it. But I feel like we all learned how to print. We all learned how to write. Just kindergarten, first and second grade. And then third grade hits. And you learn this beautiful flow of letters. And then after that, in middle school, when your middle school teachers are like, nah, it's not that big of a deal, you're like, okay, well, then let me figure out what my handwriting style is.
Yeah, I guess I can see what you're saying. I can agree with you. I want to fight you just because that's our mm-hmm. shtick.
Just
because
that's what you like to do.
But
I don't know why everybody likes to fight you.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But I just recall, like, I recall being told when we were learning cursive, this is how you're going to write the rest of your life. Like, I remember that being a thing.
Okay, well, my teachers never said that. My teacher said you need to know cursive in order to learn how to sign your name. And you're going to sign your name on everything, which is true.
I don't use cursive to sign my name. Okay, well. I mean, a lot of people do. I think that's just, I think that was a good way to teach us the idea of signatures, sure.
Yeah.
But I think if you're still using cursive to sign your name, you're doing it wrong. It doesn't look, it just looks like your name in cursive. It doesn't look like a signature.
Yeah,
anybody can copy that. Anybody can copy your name in cursive.
Do you know how many people I know that, like, it's a big cursive of their first letter and then it's...
Well, then that's not cursive.
But it...
You know what I'm saying? That's not the
okay,
same thing.
Okay, so it's not cursive. It is their signature. Uh-huh. But their signature evolved from cursive handwriting.
We threw our garbage cans outside, didn't we?
Yeah, because they stunk. Walked in and smelled like hot garbage up in here. Because it
hot
was.
And there was garbage. And there was exactly. Hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Mo.
Whatever. Whatever. I had to teach my children how to sign their own names. Because their teachers weren't teaching them how to do it. I sounded like a... Man.
You sound like a man?
No. Anyway. Hey, Matt. It's also National Rhubarb Pie Day. Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's why I spent so much time on handwriting day, because I knew we were just going to blow over Rhubarb Pie Day. Right. Like, it's non-existent anyway. Who cares?
Get bent, rhubarb pie.
Get bent.
How's your week been, Mo?
It's been really good. Lots of unpacking.
That's right. So this has been the big, like, moving in week.
It has
right?
been.
In your new house.
Yeah, I was really hopeful that I would not have any more boxes by today, and that all the furniture would be in, and everything would be set up, and yeah.
No. Not. Come on.
Yeah.
Be realistic, Mo.
I looked at it this morning, and I was like, oh, I gotta finish. I gotta be done.
Every time my wife and I moved, we had at least a few unpacked boxes for 2 years.
See, no, that is not me. That's not, I'm not like that. You got to remember, I've done a lot of moving in my adulthood, for sure. But even as a kid, I did a lot of moving around.
More in my adulthood, yeah.
And so, like, I feel like unpacking is something that I kind of excel at. Mm.
Like, I counted the other day, and I've lived in, I think, 8 different places in this 2-city area alone since moving here in 6th grade.
Well, I mean, this makes 3 for me in 10 years, so interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I'm sure I won't stay in that house for forever. But I do love that house. I'm so happy.
I mean, why not? Right?
Because it's not my house. Because, like, I'm not going to rent a home for the rest of my life. My goal is to eventually be in a financially secure place where I can buy a home.
You're going to get a 30-year mortgage at your age? Just kidding. That was really funny. The look, you can still see it, everybody, on the Twitch cam. You can still see it. Anything else going on?
I'm not dying, I can tell you that much. I'm only 37. I'm not like 1 foot in the grave here.
I didn't say you were, but add 30 to 37.
Yeah, it's 67. And then guess what? What? That's right. That's correct math.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to say, why are you looking at me like I don't know how to do easy, simple math?
I was listening good grief. To what you're
saying. And then I've still got, listen, I am living until I'm 100, okay? That is, I'm, God of, and I have had a...
Nothing but pure spite.
God and I have had a discussion. I already know. I'm, okay, now I feel like... I know.
Lightning! I feel like... How did I get in the building?
Out of pure, pure spite, just to show who really is in control, God's going to be like, okay.
Oh really?
One day before my 100th birthday, I'm going to die. Anyway, all I'm saying is if I live until I'm 90, at least then I'll have 30 years where that 30-year mortgage paid off, Matt. Kick rocks, okay? Jeez. I need coffee. Somebody deliver me coffee.
Let's see. My week has been fairly mundane. Other than my son, my oldest son. Getting his mouth washed out with soap for the first time.
I remember the first time I got my mouth washed out with soap. I remember. How old is Eli? What grade is he in?
He's in third grade.
That's when I got my mouth washed out with soap. But I didn't know what I was saying.
Oh, he knew. He knew that they were at least bad words because he knew that they were words that his classmates got in trouble for saying, including the mighty F word. And he was, along with a couple other the kids his age here at the church, spelling them out on the preschool speak and spell that they have. So that was a fun conversation for three different sets of parents to have with our nursery leader who caught them doing that. So.
Listen, I'm just going to throw it out there. This is what y'all get for getting him to say frog so many times when he was little.
We didn't want him to say it.
Yes, you did.
Someone taught him that word and it was cute, but then he started not pronouncing it as well and it just became the F word.
Very clearly can remember you specifically walking around being like, watch this, Eli, say frog. And he would say it and it sounded like the F word and you'd be like,
Okay. Number one, that's not how I act at all. Number two,
it's how you acted.
I was mortified by it and posted a whole thing on Facebook. Hey, if you hear my son say the F word, it's just frog. He's just trying to say frog. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with, I did not show him off like a parlor trick. No.
Yes, you did.
No, I know I didn't because I was terrified of anybody thinking that my kids were hearing us cuss at home or something.
Okay.
It's running around. And I definitely don't go, you're in the dirty way. That's not how I act.
That's not what I...
That's exactly what you did.
I didn't say, dirty word. Shut up.
Frost, thank you for that resubscription 31 months in a row.
Why isn't there anybody? Why don't any of our friends watch this so that I can have some backup? That's like, I remember it.
Because they got sick of all your lies, Mo, and they stopped watching. The other thing, I need the pencil, please. You've thrown all my pens and pencils away. I can't get to them anymore.
Something else to throw at you. All I have is a full water bottle, and I feel like that would hurt too much.
Oh, man. I also got to see, I had a moment with my daughter that was both extremely sad and also like heartwarming for me. Okay, let me explain. So we've got, I've got my little playpen area in my office for her at home, where for the most part, most of her life so far, she spent most of the day in there because she's been little and hasn't been walking around or whatever. And I would work and she would play and it would be great. But as she has gotten mobile and, exploratory and all these kind of things, she wants freedom. So I can only get her in there for maybe an hour in the morning. I get a little bit of work done and then we go back out to the living room. So I put her in there on Wednesday and was working and she got really like, I want out by about 45 minutes in. Normally she can last that whole hour. Mm-hmm. And so she was just screaming, I want out kind of mode. And I'm like, all right, fine. You know, my office is finally cleaned up after Christmas. The house, the parts of the house that you can go into are open. I'm just going to let you down. You can go play. I'll finish up these last few minutes and then I'll come in there with you. So I set her down, happiest face on the planet. I'm out. I'm free. And she starts to walk off. And then she turns and she sees that I'm not walking behind her.
Aww.
And then she came walking back and had the biggest open mouth crying face immediately. Just, that I wasn't with her. And that made me, it was so sad to see, but it made me feel so good. I'm like, oh, you really want me to come with you? Okay, I'll finish this later. And got up and walked with her. But I've never, none of the boy, neither of the boys ever had that kind of connection with me.
What have I been saying?
Girl, yeah, this little girl.
Since the beginning, since you found out that you were having a daughter, yeah. I said, Matt, there's something about a dad and his daughter.
You are absolutely right.
There's just, it's different. It hits different. Whatever. I don't think it will. Okay.
Again, you're putting words in my mouth I didn't say.
Oriel, I know that you were here for this one.
I didn't say you I don't think it will. You can back
me up. How many times did he say, I don't think so. But I don't know. No. I just don't. The boys and I have a really good relationship. I don't know.
Again, I don't think I've ever said any of that. No.
See?
I'm going to need proof because I don't think I've ever had that mindset. I'm sorry. You're going to need to find an episode where I said any of that. Ever. What?
You're getting
bring receipts.
You're getting
bring
senile
receipts,
in your old age.
Bring receipts.
You have like zero memory of things at this point.
Anybody bring receipts. Oriel backs you up no matter what these days, so I can't trust his word. Not one bit. Not a single bit.
Sorry. We're buddies. Get over it.
Now it's time for things that we love. Each of us has a recommendation of something that we think is awesome. Mo, what do you got?
You know, I feel like it's a store that gets forgotten about a lot. They don't get enough praise. People tend to think that they're like the bottom tier of stores. I tend to think that it's an unsung hero. Big Lots.
Mm. Okay.
For years, ever since we've moved here, actually, that's where I bought all of our furniture. Just had to furnish my new home.
Yeah.
So bought a couch and four beds and anyway, several other little things. Big Lots is where it's at.
I will say the Big Lots furniture selection is an oddity. Compared to the rest of the store, like it's pretty good, pretty decent.
It really is. Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's all, I don't know that I should say all, but I know that the majority of it is Ashley furniture, but it's discounted because there's some sort of small flaw.
Right.
Somewhere that you may not ever.
You might
ever notice or see.
Evan Never. Yeah, that's where my mom has gotten all of her furniture. And my dad too, before he passed. That's where they've gotten most of their furniture for several years as well. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times that I've been like, people have said, oh, where'd you get your couch? And I'm like, I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna immediately feel like the judgmental stares and the oh,
are you okay?
Yeah.
You need money?
But
let me loan you $100 just to get you through the week.
Okay. I won't turn it down. And hands down, I now have the most comfortable bed I have ever slept on in my entire 37 years from Big Lots.
Wow.
Go figure.
That's impressive.
I know. That's my something I love.
Mine is, it might sound too promotion-y, I guess, for Love Thy Nerd, but it's actually, it's an article, a new article on Love Thy Nerd.
Okay.
It's called Bluey and, I didn't write down the article, Bluey and the Importance of Rejection-Free Playtime. And it's by by our buddy Booze Clues, something or other. I don't know the number. Ryan Guerrera, I think his name. And he wrote this whole article about how the dad in Bluey, Bandit, always plays the games that his daughters want without trying to change their rules, without trying to make it easier on himself, or, you know, with squashing their creativity or anything like that. Like, he tries not to reject, you know, any of the ideas that they have for playtime, but instead goes along with them as wacky or as goofy or uncomfortable as they would make him, the father. And he ties that to the idea of how, as, you know, growing up as nerds with our, you know, fandoms and whatever else that we were excited about, we have, most of us, faced some sort of rejection in society, and that has fed into our self-worth and self-esteem over the years and made rejection kind of a normal thing for us. And how we have now this unique opportunity as parents to not pass that along to our kids, you know, to not reject their ideas and the things that they're excited about and that they love. And it starts with playtime with our kids when they're really little. And so, I mean, it's much more well put in the article. So I'd encourage you to go read that at lovethynerd.com. But it was very well done. Like, I put the pitch call out for, hey, can someone write me an article based on Bluey and parenting? And that's all the two keywords, Bluey and parenting. This guy came up with this thing and it's amazing. Interesting. And it's taken off. A lot of people are enjoying the article. So if you haven't read that yet, I would encourage you to too. So this wasn't me just trying to hype up Love Thy Nerd stuff. I'm just genuinely excited about this article. It's been the coolest thing this week.
Cool.
Now we're moving on to things we hate. Each of us has something to share that we wish would leave this earth. Call them unrecommendations. Mo, what do you got for us?
Oh, whoops.
Ooh, whoops.
Is there an echo in the studio? Anyway, thing that I hate, and it's bit me in the butt twice at this point.
Mosquitoes, I get it.
Yeah, they're the worst. That is something that I hate, but it's not what I was going to say.
Butt mosquitoes, man.
Butt mosquitoes. The fact that you can't claim fraud on your card without having to shut down your card and get a whole new one.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
Right.
Why can't I just be like, oh, nope, that was a fraudulent charge or that was a mistake? Because let me tell you, sometimes some of us make mistakes where we click the wrong thing, the wrong selection online, and then it ends up charging you $180 when you didn't mean for it to be $180.
Are you allowed?
You only meant for it to be $18.
Are you allowed to say, hey, that was a mistake, take it back? Or are you just claiming it's fraud?
No, I said that I immediately called and I was like, I clicked the wrong button, and they were like, okay.
Really? I didn't know you were allowed to do that. Are you talking about you called the place that you were ordering it from?
Or no,
you
called my bank.
Really?
Yeah.
And they canceled it.
Why? Why are you making me...
So strange.
My bank's going to hear this and be like...
I just didn't... I mean, if it's fraud, yeah. But if it's like...
They called it a fraudulent charge. So that's why. So, okay, the very first time, it legit was a fraudulent charge. Okay. But now this time, like, it was a mistaken charge, and they called it fraudulent. I don't know.
You know. Anyway.
And they were like, okay, well, we're going to cancel your card. Yeah. And I was like.
Well, the reason why is because I would assume that most people who have a fraudulent charge.
Yes, like somebody else.
Somebody has all that information. Right. You can just order online. So, of course, you need a card.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It is annoying. But necessary. Like, that's why.
But now you got me all in my head. Like,
did I break the law?
I didn't, right?
Like, you are not allowed to have your card anymore. Two strikes and your card is canceled.
That's exactly how I feel. And it really stinks because, like, when I first opened up my bank account, they were like, okay, do you want checks? And I'm like, no, I don't want checks. I don't need checks.
Right. Yeah.
But now that it's happened twice, I'm like, shoot, I could probably use at least a couple of checks. Like for emergency situations, I probably should just have one book of checks.
Didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Uh-huh. The first time that it happened, it was on a Saturday and it was and it was a long weekend, a holiday weekend. And so it wasn't going to be Tuesday until I was able to get a card to go into the bank and be able to get a new card, or they could mail me one. And then that wouldn't even be for a whole other week after that. And so I was like, what the heck am I supposed to do for a whole weekend? I don't have checks. I can't go to the ATM. The bank is closed.
Yeah, you couldn't even use the ATM, could you? Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Uh-huh. Because you have to have your stupid card to do that.
Yeah. So I'm all like, can you just wait for like 15 minutes and let me run to an ATM to take out money and then you can cancel my card? And they're like, no, sorry, we can't. And I'm like,
you should have called 15 minutes later. Sorry.
Well, I mean, they sent the whole text like, emergent.
Oh, they
call
sent you
now.
Oh,
okay, okay. There has been fraud detected. Yeah, the very first time.
Gotcha.
There's been fraud detected. Call now. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay, hold on. I shouldn't have done it. Now I know.
Nope. All right, here's the thing that I hate. And I complained about this a little on the Discord, and Hillary admonished me, saying save it for the radio.
Oh.
But I hate when I'm in a groove working on something and my body's like, hey, you need to get up and pee. I absolutely hate it because it always kicks me out of the groove. Takes me like 30 more minutes to get back into, okay, focus in here, let's work again. And then 30 minutes later, I got to get up and pee again. Because I pee. Well, I do pee.
But you
pee? I drink a lot more in the afternoon and the evening, like water-wise. I can't get myself to really, like, drink water in the morning for some reason, or anything really much in the morning. So by the time lunch hits, throughout the rest of the day, I'm chugging out of my big canteen thing. And so I'm peeing every 30 minutes. And it is so frustrating. Especially on days when I have a lot of work to do and I really need to focus in. And like, oh, I'll hold it forever until it's hurting. I'm like, I can't keep doing this. Just got to go pee. And then I'm out of it. I'm out of the groove. Groove's gone. And so this happened like 5 times within 2.5 hours. One day depends. 5 times in 2.5 hours. I'm like, why can't we just like pee for 20 minutes every morning and then be done with it for the day? Like, why can't we just have a focused bathroom time, get it all out,
where you're for 20 minutes straight just peeing,
just sit on the toilet and just pee for 20 minutes?
That would drive me insane.
Not if it was a normal thing, not if everybody did it every day. You'd be used to it because it's a normal thing.
Nope,
you wouldn't be used to it like tomorrow.
Think about how many more toilets we would need in the world if everyone had in the morning.
It wouldn't have to be the exact same time.
No, but for the most part, yeah, it's going to overlap. Think about, like, your boys wake up at the same time to get ready for school.
Well, okay. Well, we got 2 toilets. I get up before them, take care of mine, wake them up, and they each go into the 2 toilets. We're done in 20 minutes. It's good. Society would make it work because we'd all be doing it. It would be dealt with.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Just build a urinal in your office under your desk. you'd save a lot of money on diapers for babies. Brilliant, Oriole. Exactly. Just set them in the tub for 20 minutes. Let them get it all out in the mornings.
I mean, it also would be really good environmentally. Because... Really?
Oh, man.
Listen, I'm with JamWow right now.
What kind of chat show is this?
We got a lot of potty talk, apparently.
Oh, God.
What kind of chat show is this? We don't know. We've been here for several years now, and We don't know what we are. Your guess is as good as ours.
Oh, man.
Ay-ay-ay. I don't know how I feel about this.
Welcome to The Lightning Round, brought to you by Moviga. I'm Steven with your weekly source for all things movies, video games, and more. Now grab your ponchos and let's catch up on this week's news. James Cameron says Leonardo DiCaprio initially thought Titanic was boring. No way, me too! You can't hide from your past. Michael Bay is facing charges in Rome for the alleged death of a pigeon on the set of Six Underground back in 2018. This is a Michael Bay movie we're talking about. I think just one pigeon dying is pretty impressive. After a slew of terrible movies, Jared Leto is still getting hired. It looks like Tron 3 is moving forward at Disney with Leto in the lead role. Tron Legacy is a very underrated movie in my opinion, so I've been dreaming of a Tron 3. But I think with Jared Leto on board, I'd rather see a Troll 3 than a Tron 3. You know what I'm saying? Netflix founder Reed Hastings is stepping down as CEO of Netflix. Hastings co-founded Netflix with Mark Randolph back in 1997 and has acted as CEO since 1999. Netflix is obviously insanely successful, so he must have done something right all those years. Reed, we wish you the best. Hope you go on to greater endeavors. And thanks for Stranger Things. Power Wash Simulator is getting a Tomb Raider DLC where players can live the thrill of power washing Lara Croft's mansion and vehicles. This new DLC opens up so many possibilities for other franchise appearances. Batman, Mario, Golden Girls, so much potential. I can't wait to probably still not play this game. The Marvel's Avengers game is officially ending active development. The last update welcomed the Winter Soldier and a little bit of story content, but it looks like the end of the line came a little sooner than expected. Well, it looks like the storm has passed. Be sure to check out the Moviga podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to that sort of thing, where we're talking all things movies, video games, and more. I'm Steven, and thanks again for joining me this week for the Lightning Round.
Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show. Once again, I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo.
Mo, what is your fun fact for Monday?
Your feet have about 250,000 sweat glands, which produce up to half a pint of perspiration each day.
That's grosser than anything we've said
all morning. You are welcome.
Okay. Now it's time for our weird news update.
Here's a real news story that you may not have heard yet.
So Pizza Hut is bringing back the Big New Yorker, which we talked about last week as part of our junk food news.
Yep.
But they are making an even bigger Big Los Angelino. Okay. Pizza Hut is attempting to break the record for the world's largest pizza. And Mo, this is one large pizza, okay? Pizza Hut decided to bring back its Big New Yorker pizza, a cheese and pepperoni pie with foldable slices designed to be eaten on the go in true Manhattan style. The company wanted to find a way to celebrate the news. Specifically, they're taking this to the Los Angeles Convention Center, whose space would be big enough to hold a 14,001 square foot pizza that would break the Guinness World Record for the world's biggest pizza.
That's bigger than my house.
3,809 square meters. It's gigantic, Mo. It looks like a football field of pizza. How big is a football field? I don't know. Look that up. How big is a football field? Square meter wise.
Square meter wise?
Or square foot wise. Whatever.
I mean.
To complete the task, workers put down layers of dough first, tomato sauce painted on, then toppings are added. And then once everything is set, they're going to cook the pizza via enormous heat lamps hovering over different areas. Okay, so it's not as big as a football field. Football field is 57,600 square feet. But it's still pretty big.
How'd you find that so quick? Nowhere is like showing me in square feet how much or how big a football field is. It wants to tell me everything else from how big goalposts are. Everything. but not square footage of a football field. Anyway.
JamWow75 says Pizza Hut's pretty much dead in Australia, which, yeah. I mean, Pizza Hut's almost dead here. Pizza Hut's dying here. Pizza Hut's not having a good time lately in America. But it's giant pizza. Now, like most of these things, I'm assuming the plan is once everything is cooked and the official measurement is taken, then they bring everybody in from the community and get a big old box full of square cut slices and stuff like that to take home. Otherwise, it'd just be a big old waste of food.
Sure.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I'm not even going to lie. I wasn't listening to what you just said because I was too... I was too busy, like, thinking about how... So, Oriel said, I Googled how many square feet is a football field. I did the same thing. So, I'm convinced at this point that not everyone's Google is the same Google. Googles are different for different people. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I'm just going to... Just gonna go ahead and end. Go ahead and end this, in the story there.
Yeah.
There we go.
What's up, nerd? Are you enjoying this podcast? Well, the audio enjoyment doesn't end there. Tune in to LTN Radio for the best Christian rock, rap, pop, and indie 24/7. Not to mention a whole network of podcasts, shows, specials, and shorts, many of which air on LTN Radio before they're available anywhere else. Join us at ltnonair.com to see our schedule, stream our station, and download our app.
Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show. Once again, I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo.
This week we are talking about rivalries and fan loyalty. And today we're going to talk about video entertainment.
Okay.
So let's go back to the beginning, at least for like people our age. The beginning that it was happening when we were little kids.
Okay.
Like the tail end of it. And that was VHS versus Betamax.
Okay.
Do you remember any Betamax stuff?
I don't.
Like, I still remember there being a Betamax store in my town when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. But, like, it was, wasn't there long, and it was very, you know, it wasn't being used all that much because it was kind of already decided VHS is taking the battle here. So Sony, along with other companies, created videotape recorders in the 1950s, but it was like super expensive. So Sony released the Betamax in 1975 to avoid destroying public wallets. Like it was supposed to be the cheaper option. JVC, though, launched VHS. And that's when this full-fledged format war began. Betamax machine was much heavier than a VHS like VCR. JVC made their deck like simpler and cheaper to produce, which allowed VHS to kind of undercut Betamax and Sony. But they had a whole battle on who is going to win the hearts and minds of America, you know, for their videotaping needs. Not even so much like putting home movies on things yet, but like just using camcorders, mm-hmm. like those big monster camcorders mm-hmm. from back then.
Mm-hmm.
And what ultimately became the deciding factor was a VHS was able to record 4 to 6 hours in length, while a Betamax could only go for about an hour. So VHS had those three different speeds. I don't know if you remember. Like you could record on the tape at a different speed. The slower the speed, the worse the quality. Or the better the quality, rather. Whatever I'm trying to say. You did the 4-hour version, it was better quality. 6-hour was worse quality, but you could fit more on it. That's what I mean to say. But picture quality and everything brought VHS to the top. Are people here? There's people downstairs.
It's not even 8 o'clock.
It's not even 8 o'clock. What the heck are people doing here? Anyway, yeah, that was, I mean, that was the end of that. It simply came down to that better economy for VHSs.
Did they bring me coffee?
I don't think they brought you coffee. I don't think they know you're here. All right. So that brings us to the one that happened, like, really in our time, when we were about college-aged. Do you remember what that was? The new format battle?
Blu-ray.
Blu-ray versus, do you even remember what the other one was called?
No. What was it?
HD DVD.
Oh.
So that was, the Blu-ray had the blue bands on top, and the HD DVD had the red bands on top, and you had all these companies picking a side and only releasing on one or the other. Do you remember that? Like, Universal, I believe, was only HD DVD.
I don't remember. Like, apparently, I remember, but yeah. I don't remember it being a big...
Oh, yeah. It was a huge thing.
Big to-do.
It was a huge thing. And what came down to the deciding factor of that was... I worked at FYE at the time. Yeah. Like, it was a big deal in those, the video stores. What came down to the deciding factor of that was actually video games. Sony released the, I think it was PS3. I don't remember. Let me look. Is it PS3?
Mm-hmm.
Sony released, I think it was a PS3, with a Blu-ray player built in. Microsoft Xbox came in with an HD DVD. But even though the PlayStation was more expensive, it was the more popular gaming console that year. And so it essentially, yeah, it was the PS3, yeah. It essentially just became the, well, we have a PS3 already. I guess we're just going to do Blu-ray. And so people just latched onto Blu-ray, and HD DVD basically died out with those consoles.
Interesting.
And so HD DVD slowly started disappearing, and everything started coming out on Blu-ray. Unfortunately for Blu-ray, their reign didn't last like as long as VHS's did, because almost immediately after that war was over, Netflix started to rise up and streaming started to become a thing. And now I don't remember the last time I bought a DVD, let alone a Blu-ray disc. You still buy DVDs?
No, but here's the thing. Since moving into the house, I still don't have internet. I'm still waiting for them to come out and hook it up. And so
it's forever for these guys to get it hooked up.
So I've been having to watch DVDs.
Old DVDs.
And listen, in all the years I've done, like, massive clean outs in our home and purging different things, every time that I went to purge or clean out our DVD selection, I kind of, like, got anxiety and was like, I can't do it. I can't let go of it. Even though in my heart, I was like, nobody even watches these anymore. You don't need these. You can find every single video that's in your collection somewhere online. You don't need them. Just get rid of them. And I'd always be like, no, I can't. I can't let go of them. I'm so thankful that I didn't let go of them. I am so thankful, because I actually have something to watch right now.
So I don't know the legality of this, because it was only for personal use. I didn't, like, you know, give them out online or anything. But I spent a ridiculous amount of time before streaming was everywhere. I spent a ridiculous amount of time ripping every DVD that we owned, and we owned quite a bit, into digital files. So I would essentially make my own little streaming box. Mm-hmm. So I got a big, like, 4 terabyte book that I could hook up to a TV and play through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent, I think, six months.
I wonder if we still have that external hard drive.
Ripping stuff off to put on that hard drive so I wouldn't have to get up and change DVDs every 5 seconds. You know, I could just, hey, we're going to watch this. And, like, almost immediately after that, it's like, well, now everything's on streaming and it's so much easier than this. So we did give away all of our DVDs, most of them. We kept a couple of our kids ones for like car rides to play in the DVD player in the car. Yeah. But everything else we gave away. But I still have all my stuff on the hard drive.
There was one point where I went through and I got rid of any duplicates that we had or things that, like, what?
You had duplicate DVDs?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
How?
Well, I mean, you got to consider, like, when Chris and I first got married, he had a DVD collection had a DVD collection. Okay. And so there was that merge of DVDs. But then also, like, for a long time, early in our marriage, it was like the Christmas gift that everybody would give us, DVDs. And so we would get, you remember like the $5 bins at Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd get multiple $5 DVDs from different people. So yeah, there were several duplicates that we had, but
I can only recall one DVD that we had two copies of.
You ain't DVDing right.
Oh,
I mean, now sure, nobody DVDs sure was, except for me.
I didn't have duplicates.
I'm just saying.
Why would having duplicates be considered the right way?
Whatever. Whatever.
I remember even consolidating our DVD collection down by buying multi-pack cases that were slimmer, where I could fit like 12 DVDs in like a 3-inch booklet.
Yeah.
As opposed to having them spread out. So I would combine all the trilogies, you could have them as little as, you know, 4 in a normal standard pack, but I would combine all our trilogies. I would shrink all of our TV series from like, you know, 8 big packs for 8 seasons down to like 2 slim packs together. So we would have more room on our thing. Like, we invested a lot of extra money and time into really building up our DVD collection, only for like a decade to pass. And we're like, you know what? DVDs aren't really a thing anymore. Just stop worrying about them. So,
you know, that really does kind of make me sad. Mm-hmm. Like, considering it, I can remember going to friends' houses and seeing their VHS collection. And that was like, you were somebody, depending on.
Right. Yeah.
quantity and quality of your VHS library. Mm-hmm. And then I can remember kind of feeling that same like high and mighty about a DVD collection.
Yeah.
You were setting the tone for what type of person, what kind of adult you were.
Right.
Depending upon your library of DVDs.
And like, I had all the DVDs of all the TV shows that I really liked. And I was always afraid, you know, if you don't get these now, they're not maybe going to be for sale forever. And there goes your chance of watching, you know, Psych whenever you want, or, you know, something like that. And so got everything, all these.
Yep.
Never thinking in my wildest dreams that, you know, a few years from now, there's going to be 80 streaming services with everything you've ever watched from the 90s till now available at any given moment.
Yeah.
For less money a year than you spent on DVDs.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, now it's a matter of, well, what streaming services do you have? Mm-hmm.
So that's the, well, let's kick off the beginning part of that.
Okay.
The first section for that is Netflix versus Blockbuster. So this was when Netflix was doing the mail DVDs. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the DVDs in the mail, 2 at a time, watch them, send them back whenever. And how Blockbuster, the last bastion of like video rental stores. Like, it was Blockbuster, I think Hollywood Video. Those are the only two that I remember.
I forgot about Hollywood Video.
Yeah, we had a Hollywood Video and a Blockbuster here. Blockbuster closed down here, but Hollywood Video was still around for several years.
Well,
and I remember going to that Hollywood Video all the time with Deidre. Like, we would just, that would be my second
date
home.
Night.
Loved going to Hollywood Video, getting a movie, getting popcorn and junk, and that was the date night.
Man.
And yeah, so Blockbuster had the chance to buy Netflix early on for like nothing, like for so little money compared to how much it's worth now. They offered to sell Netflix for $50 million, which is a lot of money, but nothing compared to what it's worth at the moment.
Right.
And Blockbuster is worth nothing because it doesn't exist. Now, there's one Blockbuster left in, I think it's in Alaska. I don't remember where it is.
No, Oregon.
Oregon, wherever it is. One Blockbuster left, and Netflix is... Netflix has one of the greatest documentaries on Blockbuster, The Last Blockbuster. It has a comedy series based around the idea of The Last Blockbuster, like how that would survive in a comedic world. Mm. It's eaten up Blockbuster at this point, and it's cannibalizing its corpse. Netflix went on to be like the streaming giant, the big first streaming giant. And then we have Hulu. Mm-hmm. We have Disney Plus. We have Peacock.
Thank you.
Saying it normally.
Although, no, you're not. You're still emphasizing the peacock.
Peacock, 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 mm-hmm. peacock. How do I say it, Mo? How should I say it?
Peacock.
How am I not saying that? Peacock. Peacock.
Stop. That's enough. We're done.
Apple TV Plus and Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is where, like, fan loyalty shines in. Like, there's too many of them now to have them all, unless you're just really bad with money. And so you got to have like a brand loyalty situation going on here. Already in the chat, we see Musical Band Nerd saying Hulu and Disney Plus is all they need. Mm-hmm. Mo, what streaming services are your go-to streaming services? You can only pick two. Which would they be?
Honestly, I think I'm going Netflix and Hulu.
Netflix and Hulu?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because they're like the OGs for me. Mm-hmm. I know how to use them. I know how to find what I need to find.
So it's really just ease of use.
That's sounding super old at this point. Like,
it's really easy to point and click at what I want.
Exactly. Here's the thing. Like, Paramount Plus, I hate Paramount Plus. Hate it. Because every single time, it logs me out and I can never log back in. To the point where, like, I almost want to throw my remote at the TV every time. And then when I do log back in and I find what I want to watch and I select it, guess what happens? It logs me out. I don't think I've ever successfully watched something on Paramount Plus, ever.
That's hilarious.
Ever. So it can kick rocks.
We have, we've currently subscribed to the Minnow streaming service, which is like the kids Christian show.
Okay.
Streaming service, got all the VeggieTales and all the whole bunch of stuff. Actually, a lot of pretty good stuff, good quality stuff. The problem is that thing won't let you stay signed in for more than like 3 days. Mm. And it's not just a simple, all right, you're logged out, log back in, put in your password. You have to like get out a phone, log into a website, scan a QR code, put in a code, put in your password. I'm like, I just, my kids just won't ever watch it. Mm-mm. The whole reason that we got it was so when I was still asleep, my kids who are up early in the morning can get up and turn it on and watch something themselves, but they can't ever do that because it's always logged out.
Yeah.
And so they just don't. Like, all right, I'm paying $9.99 a month for essentially nothing.
Exactly. And Thray, actually, in our chat, she brought up Amazon, which you don't even have on.
I didn't put it on here because it's almost an afterthought for Amazon.
It is an afterthought, but
it does have a few good things on it.
Yeah.
But also half of the stuff it has on it are stuff that it's on like IMDb and they're just streaming it through Amazon with ads.
Yeah.
And like, okay, but like they got Jack Ryan, you know. Jim is an action hero, so I mean that's all right.
I'm just gonna tell you, I watch most of my stuff through YouTube.
Well, that's not watching much. Do you have YouTube TV or YouTube Premium or something?
I mean, I pay to rent or to buy certain things.
Okay.
Because it's the only thing that I can successfully log in through at the school, because there's so many filters on our computers at the school.
Why are you watching movies at school, Mom?
It's Fun Day Friday.
Okay, you're playing movies for kids. Got it.
Yeah.
The way it was coming off is like, you know, when I'm not wanting to work. I'm just...
Hey, listen,
Jurassic World there are 3. Also,
I have planning periods in my day, okay?
You're supposed to be planning?
Planning what? How to take over the world? Sure, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so that's typically what I use is YouTube, and okay. I am a creature of habit, and so at this point, everything else can just, I'm done. I really don't know what I'm going to be paying for. I don't see much of a purpose in paying for any of it anymore. Mm. So, especially when I'm paying for it now.
So I've never gotten the full Netflix fandom. I didn't get it when it first came out. As I said, I'd ripped all of my stuff off, you know, onto a hard drive. So I was watching that when Netflix was first around.
For shame.
Hulu came out. We got Hulu. Because I think we got it as like a... We got like 3 months of it free for some reason. I don't remember through what. We got that. And I enjoyed Hulu enough that we kept it for a few years. But when Peacock came out... I'm trying to say it normal. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. When Peacock came out, we got that because, number one, Office is our number one jam all the time. And it very quickly got the rights to Office back from Netflix. But most of the shows that we like, for some reason, just tend to be NBC shows. And so we kind of got a no-brainer. But then they bought the entire WWE network as well. Mm-hmm. So now they've got all the WWE content, including all the pay-per-views, as a part of just the main price. And so I can watch all the WWE pay-per-views that used to cost like $60 on their own for just the one night, $30 to $60, depending on the show. Basically free, you know, as a bonus to this. And then Disney Plus, because Disney Plus is just a good deal. It really is. It's got all the Marvel movies, all the Star Wars stuff, all the Pixar, you know, all the kids, all the old Disney movies, you know, TV original movies that I used to love. And then The Simpsons. I mean, what more do you need, right?
There's all really the not that much on Disney Plus that I...
Really? There's really not much that I don't like.
There. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that I like, but I just don't... That's not my go-to. I'm not going to sit down... I'm not a movie person.
That's right, yeah.
I give me like 30-minute sitcoms or a 30-minute episode of a reality television show or whatever. 30 minutes is about all that I'm going to dedicate to sitting down and watching television. I'm not going to sit down and watch a movie for an hour and a half, 2 hours at home when I could be doing other things. That's just how my brain is wired. So... While they Disney Plus has all of those movies that we grew up on and that I love and that give me all the nostalgic feels, I don't ever use it.
I will never watch them.
Yeah. I think I watch Disney Plus the most throughout Christmas because they had all the Home Alones.
Mm-hmm. You watch all the Home Alones?
So I have to do it once a year where I watch all of them. Yes. So that I can remember how awful 3 through 5 is.
I didn't hate 3. When you look at it as its own movie, just cut it off from the Home Alone series altogether. And just like, this is a standalone movie. I didn't hate it. It's not the best. And it's nowhere near the first two. But I didn't hate it.
They're garbage.
4 and 5. And is it 6? How many are there?
Okay, so I only watched 1 through 5. But I do think that there is a 6th one.
So the 6th one is the new one, right? That Disney Plus made. Home Sweet Home Alone.
Okay.
Yeah. That one I also didn't hate. Not as much as 4 and 5. 4 and 5, hot garbage. Hot garbage on the hottest setting and the stinkiest garbage. It's the worst. But 3 and 6 were like, all right. It's all right. Kids want to watch it, we'll put it on kind of thing.
One and two,
top tier for sure. Top tier movies.
One and two.
I think I like 2 the best. I think you mentioned this. Don't you like 2 the best? I think you mentioned this and it got me thinking. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah.
Two's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Two's better.
Yep.
Two's good. Two's real fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this wasn't supposed to be about Home Alone.
Aw, why? I mean, it is
I refuse to acknowledge the existence of 3 through 6.
Yeah. 1 and 2, the only ones that matter.
But yeah, okay. So your go-tos, once again, were...
Netflix and Hulu.
Netflix and Hulu. And, yeah, I mean, Netflix has those big shows, you know, mm-hmm. It has Stranger Things. It has currently, I think Wednesday's the big thing over there. And yeah, like I get it. If those are the reason that you're going to Netflix, but like Deidre and I also have gotten a few free months of Netflix throughout the years. And like, we just, how much on there we want to watch, you know?
So here's the thing. I like Hulu for all of the shows that I would watch on cable.
Yeah.
Or on satellite.
That's true.
Okay.
It's got a good, especially because that's essentially what it was. It was a joint venture with, I think it was NBC, Disney, Fox, and ABC. Well, Disney is ABC.
I don't know.
But like, that's how it originally started, as like this conglomeration of all the different networks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I like Hulu for that, but Netflix has really outdone themselves with a lot of the originals, mm-hmm. their own television shows, their own documentaries and docuseries, their own original movies. There's not many Netflix originals that I've watched that I didn't like.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a pretty solid track record with their originals. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll give you that. While the rest don't.
Exactly. Yeah.
The rest are heavy hit or miss territory.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was about to say except for Disney, but no, even with Disney, some of their series, they like the worst Disney original is usually far better than like the best Hulu original or whatever, but still they have their really highs and really lows on Disney Plus too. Yeah. But still.
There you go. I gave you my actual reasoning behind.
I appreciate it.
Paramount Plus sucks because it keeps kicking me out. I can never stay logged in.
Also,
I've never used Apple TV.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Apple TV at all.
Yeah.
Apple TV has a couple, like they're essentially just originals. Like,
okay.
They don't really have like a backlog of stuff.
So then see, I wouldn't.
The only thing I know of from Apple TV that I like is Ted Lasso.
Okay.
The cleanest comedy you'll ever find that's full of curse words. And I promise you that's a very makes accurate no statement.
Sense whatsoever.
And when you watch it, you'll understand what I mean.
Anyway.
There's not a show more wholesome right now being produced than Ted Lasso, but there's so much cussing in it. But it won't matter. It won't change your mind on how wholesome it is.
Whatever. And then I'm going to say that Amazon comes in a really close third for me.
Yeah. Amazon is really like that, just like that reliable workhorse in the back. Like it just,
it is.
It'll be there for you when you need it and it'll do what it needs to do.
If you can't find it on Netflix or Hulu, mm-hmm. you're going to find it on Amazon.
Like I'm watching News Radio on Amazon right now. News Radio was a solid show mm-hmm. back in the 90s. Love that show.
My only complaint about Amazon is that it doesn't matter if you're a Prime member or not. There's still going to be certain things that you're going to have to rent or buy.
Yeah.
Whereas
I don't like that they don't separate those out into two different sections. I don't like that everything's stacked together.
Right.
So you can't tell, can I watch this for free or not?
Yeah.
Until you've had to go through all the steps of clicking through it.
Mm-hmm. Until you got your hopes up because there's like that one thing that you remembered all of a sudden. Oh, that was such a good show or such a good movie. And then you're like,
would you like nobody to buy else the has season?
It. Yeah. Nowhere else has it. All right. Let me search Amazon. Yes. Amazon for the win. And then at the very last minute, rent or buy. And you're like, fine.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, that was a pretty solid discussion.
So that's all for today. Next time, we're going to take a look at tech rivalries. Before we wrap up our Monday show, what's a good verse to send us out on today?
The memory verse for Monday, January 23rd, is Ecclesiastes 11:10. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity.
That's going to do it for the Back Row Morning Show.
We air our daily morning shows exclusively on LTN Radio, ltnonair.com, every Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. Eastern with an encore at 10 a.m.
But if you miss a day or just can't catch the show live, you can find the podcast versions every afternoon they air. Searching the Back Row Morning Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your favorite podcast apps. We'd also love a good review and five stars, like, you know, right now, if you don't mind. Like, if you're listening to the podcast, just unlock your phone, just right where you're at, pull up the app. It's already playing, should already be open somewhere. Just, you know, just real quick, just tap that five stars real quick. You don't even have to leave a review if you don't want. I love it. Just even just like, it's great. That'd be great. Yeah. Just please. We're desperate for validation.
Check out lovethynerd.com. It is positively jam-packed with articles, podcasts, and videos that cover a wide range of nerdy topics. And just like any ministry, we are largely supported by those willing to partner with us financially.
I'm actively working to make LTN my full-time job, but in order to do that, I need people who will join my partner team. I have a handful of awesome folks already who help support me in this ministry, and I am extremely grateful and honored for each one of them. And if you would like to join these amazing people, you can visit lovethynerd.com/radiomat or reach out to me directly. Love Thy Nerd is a qualifying 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible.
Go follow us on all the socials at the Back Row LTN. And if you really want to get into the show, even literally, join us at lovethynerd.com/discord and join the Back Row Buds in the Gain Access channel. And watch along when we record live on twitch.tv/lovethynerd.
Once again, I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo.
And if nobody else tells you, we promise it's true.
Jesus loves you, nerd.